Thank you for joining us from the horse's mouth. It is Ruby Walsh, Frank Hickey, and myself, Patrick Pennelly, looking ahead to day two at the Punchestown Festival. Hope you found a few winners on day one. If you're looking to get some really good content ahead of Punchestown, of course, it's a long old week. We have a brilliant Punters panel episode available on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel. Ruby Walsh, Fran Berry, Johnny Dineen, and Tom Nugent talking all things Punchestown. Really, really good, enjoyable listen and watch if you do want to check that out. Available as a podcast too. Ruby Walsh, Frank Hickey, how are you, Frank?
I'm in great form, yeah. Absolutely lifting it. Hopefully I won't make any mistakes in this podcast.
Would be nice, wouldn't it? Ruby Walsh doesn't make mistakes. Ruby, how are you?
I'm recording this in the SPK and it's actually cold, you know that?
Oh, I had the heating on this morning. It was a genuine disgrace.
It was miserable this morning, wasn't it?
Awful. The ground, obviously, we'll have seen at day one, so it's probably going to be on the, well, we know it's going to be on the soft side, softer than normal anyway for Punchestown, but that's fine. These William Mullins horses just winning any ground anyway. We're going to get cracking into day two. We kick off with a really easy Adair Manor Opportunity Final. This spot, a series sponsored by JP McManus. It's restricted to jockeys who've only ridden a certain amount of winners. I think it's up to 20 or something like that over the course of their careers. So that's, if you're looking at strange-ish jockey bookings, that's why this is the case. I didn't think, Ruby, that you'd have one for me in this race, but I think you do.
Yeah, I thought Unanswered ran really well at Fairy House on ground I thought would be too slow for him. I know the ground would be slow at Punchestown on Wednesday, but I think it mightn't be as slow as Fairy House was, so I'm going to go with Unanswered. He was a good winner at Cheltenham in November, and I think he can collect here. Tricky race now. He'd want to be at least an each-way price.
I think everything should be hopefully an each-way price. Unanswered, who did us a few favours at Cheltenham back in November. Thank you very much, Rory DeLargy. Frank, had you won in this?
I was going to take a chance on one. Paddy O'Hanlon rides for Peter Fahey. Privilege. Look, a maiden winner in the flat for Jesse was rated as high as the mid-80s, though didn't really figure in a few runs and handicaps. Like you go back to his hurdles form as a juvenile, he was second on his second start at Leopardstown in December 2021 when he was just three lengths behind Ecaire Allen. He had the likes of Dr. Brown Bear, Brazil, Prairie Dancer and Man of Work behind that day. Very decent run. Now, they didn't go overly hard this day, which probably helped him because you would have slight stamina question marks about him. Look, he was off the track then for a year and he's run twice since at Leopardstown behind High Definition, a decent maiden hurdle, and then behind Diverge at Punchestown. He's been given a few months off. He's making his handicap debut here off a mark of 116, considering what he was capable of showing on the flat. Look, there is a question mark about 2.5 miles, but like I really respect Peter Fahey. He's targeted this race, particularly that auction series final. He's won the last 2 years. He's well able to line one up, and I just thought it was interesting that they would try him in a handicap at the Punchestown Festival rather than going somewhere maybe a bit easier.
Lovely. Privilege to watch out for there for Peter Fahey, who, as you said, does have one in the next race. And Ruby having a go with Unanswered. That auction final race is the quarter past four. It's race number two on the card, and it's restricted to certain horses bought at certain sales and all that sort of stuff. But it's got a really interesting runner in Sander Coughlan, who brings grade one form for Paul Nolan and Sean O'Keefe. Also strong ratings for Three Car Bragg and Nucky Johnson for Gordon Elliott and Noel Mead. So I think a strong renewal, Ruby. What are your thoughts?
It most definitely is. And you love incentives to give everybody a chance. But I don't think the incentive here was for horses of the standard of Sendor Clegane and Three Car Bragg to be avoiding the three grade one, 3 mile novice hurdle on the same card to run in this race. I kind of think that's a little bit disappointing for the grade one race, that you have potentially two horses that would be to the fore of the betting in that race taken in this race instead. So, I think that one has backfired slightly myself. But of the two at the trip, 2 miles and three, I'd probably be siding with Sendor Clegane over Three Car Bragg.
Yeah, Paul Nolan, Sean O'Keefe. Frank, you mentioned that Peter Fahey's won this last couple of years. He's Rocco Bay in the race, who has about £30 to find, I think.
Yeah, but the one last year seemed to be a no-hoper as well. And it's won at 40-1. You wouldn't put a line through him. Three Car Bragg and Sander Clan, well clear on form. Obviously, they're grade one horses. But their best form, like Sander Clan has won over 2.5. I'd be willing to take them on. And I'm going to take them on with Sam Curling's horse, Della Castellunga. I think this has been her aim for a long time. on the figure, she's an awful lot to find. She's only rated 116, and she's getting £9 off Sandra Glenn, 11 off Three Car Brag, which leaves her with an awful lot to find. But I thought it was a decent run the last day at Limerick when she was beaten a length and a half by Deeply Superficial. Again, on the figure, she had a fair bit to find going into that, but she was running on strongly at the end of that, over 2 miles. I think going back up to 2.5 is going to suit her. And I think it's dangerous to dismiss her. Like the other two had tough race in the Albert Bartlett, and someone's going to just take the edge off a little bit. And I think she's going to be a big price, and I'd be having a few bob each way on her, assuming like you get at least 16 to 1, which I think there's a chance to get 14 or 16 anyway, at least. Lovely. So I'd
have a bob each way on her. Della Casalunga each way for Frank, whatever Sander Clan for Ruby. On to the Louis Fitzgerald Hotel hurdle, another conditions hurdle, restricted for horses who haven't won grade ones and that sort of stuff. This race, looking at the entries or the declarations, Grange Clare West for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend, the sole representative for Willie. Of the ratings, of those who have ratings, Imagine is top rated in the race for Gordon Elliott. Henry's got an interesting one in Tagman. But Ruby, start with you and Grange Clare West.
Yeah, look, obviously was impressive when he won his maiden hurdle at Navan, and then disappointed since. He picked up a setback on that occasion. He's recovered from that. He has plenty of work done, and he slots in here. It's not a novice. This is an open winner's of one hurdle race, but 2.5 miles seems to suit him. And I hope he can eventually put his best foot forward.
Grange Clare West then for Ruby Walls. Frank?
Yeah, I'm just gonna. It's not too much, like from a farm perspective, but Jessie Harrington has won this 4 times in 7 years, and none of them have been that short a price. She's won it. They've won it 15-2, 13-2, 9-2, and 50-1. She is Port Stanley representing her here. I think, look, it's worth taking a chance. I'm considering, look, he has been off the track since November 2021, but he's finished third in the good novice handicap chase on this card in 2021 off a mark of 134. And he's shown on numerous occasions he's capable of running to mark in the mid-130s. Look, obviously, if Willie's horse runs the sort of level he showed at Navan, he's the one to beat. But I think Port Stanley, I respect the fact that, again, Jessie's bringing him back. And this is our runner here, considering a record in the race. And I would be shocked now if she Port Stanley enhanced her record in the race. I would give mention to Cap of Glory too. He was disappointing on handicap debut at Ferryhouse when well backed. Wouldn't shock me if he bounced back to form here. And the more tests on the ground is probably the better for him also, I think. But for me, I'd take a chance on Port Stanley considering Jesse's record in the race.
Couple of big prices from Frank Hickey. Yeah, potentially anyway. We're operating without prices. That's why I haven't mentioned any. We're recording this on Monday. But we do have prices for the 525, the first of the grade ones. And it is known as the War of Attrition. Novice Hurdler used to be registered as that. Gaelic Warrior is your 11-10 favourite, Paul Townend and Willie Mullins. 4-1 Afferdale Fury for Noel Mead. 6-1 Salvador Ziggy for Gordon Elliott. Embassy Gardens has been backed at each way prices. 10s down to 13-2. And then Favori de Champdoux, 8-1. It's 12. Bar. Okay, so straight to you then, Ruby Walsh for Gaelic Warrior update, please.
Hey, look, Afferdale Fury ran a brilliant race, PK in the Albert Bartlett. Thought Sam Ewan gave him a great ride. And Salvador Ziggy, he actually met with a bit of interference in the Pertemps and ran well after being ridden handily to win the Pertemps when Good Time Johnny came in the back of the field. But having said that, I think Gaelic Warrior brings the strongest form here. I know he's won over 2 miles at the Dublin Racing Festival. I thought he was staying on behind Impere Pass at Cheltenham. Going right-handed will suit him better than left-handed. I actually rode him work the other morning, and I think the step up and trip will help him. I think he'll settle. I think when he's behind horses, he does switch off. And going right-handed, I think he'd have too much class for these.
Yeah, it's interesting, that step up and trip. And Ruby saying he could improve for Frank Hickey. So 11 to 10, I doubt that's your kind of gig.
Yeah, the price is what's kind of turning you off, really. Like, look, he does look like he wants 3 miles out, and right-handed is 100% going to help him. But I just think Salvador Ziggy looks a bit overpriced. I thought it was a massive run, the Pertemps off top weight, albeit he had Aidan Kelly taking 7 off. But he's just bumped into Good Time Johnny, who was absolutely thrown in, really, wasn't he, at the way he won on the day. And when you look at Salvador Ziggy, he's improved with every start since joining Gordon. And it's also coincided with stepping up and trip. I think 3 miles really suits him. He did win his maiden hurdle here in May last year, so the track is no issue. As I said, that second of Pertemps is a massive run. And that was his first run since October too. So he's fresher than most of Gordon's would be normally coming into the Punchdown Festival. The majority of the time they've been going all through the season, and they're over the top. And that's why I think he is you know, a fairly poor record relative to Willie at everyone has a poor record relatively, I know, but that's why he maybe underperforms at the Punchtown Festival. But this one, obviously, he's only had the one run this calendar year, so he'll be fresh enough. And just thought each way, look, I don't think he wants the ground to get too testing, but as long as it's not, you know, really heavy, if it's just soft, he'll be okay. It was soft in the pretense and he ran a cracker. So he was 7-1 this morning. Obviously, he's into 6-1 now. I think, look, each way bet to nothing sort of thing. I'd be shocked if he's not in the three.
Lovely. Salvador Ziggy for Frank, Gaelic Warrior for Ruby.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
On to the Punchtown Gold Cup, the 5.55, and thank God for the administrative team who managed to make sure the Brave Man's Game can run here, because he adds a fair chunk of spice. Gallopin' Champ, though, remains your 2-7 favourite. Brave Man's Game, 9-2. What a spectacle they dished up for us at Cheltenham. Envoy Allen, who himself came right back to form, 11-1. It's 22's bar, but again, I start with you, Ruby. Gallopin' Champ, this was obviously the plan, wins the Gold Cup and hopefully goes here. All okay?
Yeah, he seems to be in good form, PK. Obviously, Alban Foto didn't manage to do that when he won the Gold Cup. The first one, and did he win the second then? I'm not sure. Did he ever? No, there was no Punchestown. It was
COVID.
COVID.
Yeah, COVID. All right.
When he won his second Gold Cup, so there was no Punchestown. Gallopin is in good order. He seems to be well at home. And he was brilliant in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Now, that was 3.25 left-handed. You're back to 3 miles right-handed. I suppose maybe a little bit more like the King George in the Gold Cup, Punchestown. So, Brave Man's Game. He's a huge runner for Paul Nicholls. I'm obviously in the Galloping the Champ camp, but as a fan of horse racing, as a fan of Punchestown, I think it's amazing that he's here. I think it's brilliant that he's here. I think you've the Ryanair winner thrown in, Envoy Allen. I think he's disappointed here at Punchestown in the past. So I'd be hoping that he can put his best foot forward. I thought Hewick was running a big race in the Gold Cup, definitely to 3 miles. Didn't seem to be getting much further than that at grade one level. So I think there'd be a really good race. I'm with Galloping the Champ, but I think I'd be watching him. I'm not sure I'd be getting involved at that price.
Do you think the two things you mentioned there that I think are the most important, the two furlongs and the different way round and the flatter tracks, that's three things, will MPK, will mean Brave Man's Game gets closer to Gallopin' Champ?
I think it'll be a great race. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does get closer, yeah.
Okay. Just beware of those who are thinking to lengthen your odds there. This may be close. Frank?
Yeah, look, the drop and trip, you could say it's going to help Brave Man's Game. But at the same time, like, there was slight question marks about Gallopin' Champ going to Cheltenham. And you would say, is dropping back and trip going to hinder him? I don't think so. I just think he'll win. I thought he was brilliant at Cheltenham. And look, he's backed up before when he won the Martin Pipe and he came and won the Grade 1 Novice Hurdle over 3 miles. So, yeah, look, it's great. Brave Man's Game's come to make a race for it, but I think we'll get the same result.
Do you think it'd be as close as it was or further? Or I'm trying to get a bet out of this.
Look, I don't know about distance, but Gallopin' Champ would beat him, I would think.
You're not playing ball, Frank. Come on now.
Here, come here. I'm not Mystic Meg.
Mystic Frank. Right, Gallopin' Champ to win. Brave Man's Game, probably follow him home. Best luck to Hewick and the Shark. Obviously, we've been following them all season through the Shark Power Series. Been brilliant. And hopefully he runs a huge race on what is going to be his, I assume, final start of the season. But you never know with him. They could run him anywhere. Right, on to the next grade one. This one, the bumper on the card. No prices for us as we record. However, expecting A Dream to Share to certainly make the market for John Kiley and John Gleeson. And Brian will be on RT. This should be interesting. I assume he will be anyway. Brian Gleeson, his dad. Willie Mullins again throwing It's For Me, Rathgull Boy, Tully Hill, Western Diego into this. And Patrick's gone for Tully Hill, Ruby.
Yeah, he was impressive when he won at Goran Park in the Shrievely Park Colours. His home has been very solid. I imagine he's gone for Tully Hill because he doesn't think any of those that ran in Cheltenham can turn the form in A Dream to Share. So he's thrown a fresh dart at it and he's gone with Tully Hill. He's going to need to be exceptional to beat A Dream to Share. He looks rock solid. But if we don't have prices, I can't imagine him, Frank, being an each way price, could you?
No.
So,
I'd say you're looking at probably something like 5-2, 11-4.
Yeah. So look, it's a hard one, but I think Tully Hill is a very good horse.
Okay. Was he the horse who won that race that was run in honor memory of a friend of
Lynn Doyle? Yeah. The Doc Doyle. Yeah. Yes, he did. Yes. Yeah. And he was impressive. His homework at home has been good beforehand, a little bit drier ground than he got in Goran Park in February or March. March, wasn't it? Would suit him as well. But he's a horse with a big future, Tony Hill.
But a dream to share to win?
Yeah, he probably will. Yeah.
Probably will. Okay. Frank, any angle into it?
Yeah, look, I think Tony Hill created a big impression. You have to respect Willie's record in the race. He won it eight times in 10 years. But look, A Dream to Share has been very impressive, really, at the Dublin Race Festival and again at Cheltenham. I think he's probably even value for a bit more. He was just basically, young Gleeson was tracking Patrick and just, you know, he was just aiming to beat him because I think he knew he was the one to beat. And yeah, if he kind of runs that level, Tully Hill's going to have to be an exceptional horse to beat him. And you can't see a reason why anything that ran against Cheltenham could turn the form around. So, yeah, difficult to go against, Dream to Share.
Are there any concerns? I know Fasal Vega won this, but was way less impressive here at Punchestown than he was. It's like the end of the season, chance for that form to be turned around.
Of course there is, but... as you said, Fasal Vega still managed to win.
Yeah, the other thing as well is like a Dream to Share has had, like he'd done his winning last summer, wasn't it? And then didn't come back to the Dublin Race Festival. So he's only had the Dublin Race Festival in Cheltenham. So, it's, you know, it shouldn't really be an issue, but you never know. But
I'm just scanning through the previous winners. Only two winning favourites since 2013.
Kilcrow turned it with Sir Gerhard the year before, didn't he?
Tornado Flyer won it. He was always a great friend of the bookies, Tornado Flyer. Colriva, she wasn't favourite either.
But even last year, people were like, oh, Fasal Vega wasn't impressive. But I think what it was is that Redemption Day didn't like the ground at Cheltenham. And I think he ran more to his ability, more so than Fasal Vega coming back, you know.
So I'm trying to get into a situation where something might come out of the woodwork, but it seems like the two are not returning.
PK doesn't fancy a Dream to Share. We'd interpret it for you, listeners.
Sure. Haven't we given you a couple of big price ones earlier? Just so greedy, PK.
Not enough. Right, I'll put you down for a Dream to Share. Thanks so much, lads. The 7:10 or the 7:05, I should say, is the HTS Higher Handicap Chase, 2.5 mile, and this is a 100 grand pot. Only 9 runners, which I thought was mildly surprising. Paul Tanner writes Adore. Sean O'Keefe's on Egality Man. Two of the three for Willie's also got Royal Rendezvous, a regular in these types of races. Ruby, a word on those?
Yeah, I didn't think I would be ever tipping Hador in a 100,000-man handicap chase, but I'm going to. I think most of these are really well exposed. I actually think the danger could be Lifetime Ambition. He's not running. He was only entered. But Hador... Yeah, to be honest with you, PK, it was a conversation I was having with somebody earlier. I do think it's slightly surprising that there's only 9 horses running in a 100,000-pound handicap chase. Hador is a novice. He could have run in the novice handicap on Friday. I do think that's a slightly worrying number.
I actually thought that this was a small field because of all the novices would obviously go for the novice chase, but Hador being a novice, this is probably the time to get him. He's fully now back him, that is. He's very much at the end of his novice career. So
he's not a novice next week, but you just wonder where are the rest of the handicap chasers?
Where are they all gone? Where are they gone? All right, Hador for Ruby. Frank, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, you could definitely see with Hador. Like he was very impressive when he won at Fairy House in his novice chase. He's kind of gone a bit backwards since, though he wasn't completely disgraced in the article, to be fair. This would be more suitable. And like, if you could go back to that Fairy House run, he's hammered the Goffer. So 140 is workable, but I'm going to take a chance on last year's winner, Royal Rendezvous. Look, maybe you want the ground, maybe not to get any softer, but he's £5 lower than last year when he won off 160. He's running off 155 here. And Drew said it's only 9 runners and it's not a very deep, like you'd have question marks about Andy Dufresne staying this trip. Lieutenant Command won at Leopardstown. He definitely would have claims, up just 5. You obviously have had our Gallant John Jones, a solid horse. I like the way you're thinking. Has ability, but finds it difficult to win. A Gallanty Man finds it difficult to finish the race. And then, like, you have the little yank in her as you rule. So I don't think it's a very strong race. And I'm just going to take a chance for Royal Rendezvous doubling up.
Royal Okay, back-to-back wins for Royal Rendezvous. William Mullen's going to take it by the sounds of things, with one of his three. The bumper on the card is the Grade 3 Mayor's Bumper, Geoff at 7.45. Willie, unsurprisingly, is mob-handed. Patrick's gone for fun, Ruby, and that's the starting point.
Yeah, and she was obviously very good at the Dublin Racing Festival. And yeah, she sets the standard for hours in the APK, so I'm not gonna duck her in the last. I think we might have struggled for a bumper maybe on Tuesday, but if Tully Hill can't deal with a dream to share, I'd be hoping fun can last.
Okay, fun. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, five for Willie in the race. Right, I don't think you have one that, do you, Frank?
No.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, lads, that's day two wrapped up nicely. What we need are best bets on day two of Punchestown Festival. Please, if you put in Gallop and Deschamps, you will be sacked from the pod. I will go to you, Ruby, first.
I think Gaelic Warrior will win. And yeah, Gaelic Warrior will do me.
You were going to double it up with Galloping, weren't you?
No,
okay, all right, okay. Gaelic Warrior or Ruby in the Irish Mirror Novice Hurdle. The three-miler, Frank?
I'll go Della Casalunga each way.
In
the 4:15, the Red Mills. Connie's Red Mill Series final.
Just for those who are listening, they want to go, what race is that? The 4:15. Thank you very much. That's brilliant stuff, lads. Thank you for covering day two in lovely, snappy form. A reminder, Punter's Panel available. It's a great one up at Punchestown with Ruby, Franberry, and also Johnny Dineen. It's a great crack. What are you laughing at now?
I'm just laughing. I watched the first half of last night and I really enjoyed it.
It's very good, isn't it?
Very funny,
it,
yeah.
It is.
I watched the second half of there now this evening.
No, it is. On your day off, you're working. Are you going to invoice producer Mark for this?
Oh, no, I don't charge Mark. I'm very good that way.
Actually nice. Are you going down at all this week, Frank?
I'm actually working every day bar Saturday, but I'm actually working Saturday as well. I'm working every day, so I can't go this year.
Well, you didn't work for the Grand National. Oh, you did. You came back for Centre Park, so all good.
I came back for the Grand National, yeah.
Ruby will be there every day for Racing TV, for Punchestown Racecourse, for RTE, for anyone else? Paddy Bear?
Friday.
Yep, Friday. I'm going to get you on PPTV. Thanks very much, Ruby. That's now in the contract. Thank you. Gentlemen, have an excellent day two at Punchestown. We'll be back to cover day three, not too far away, but let's look at your bets on day two.